is anew every morning, and great is his faithfulness. You know, I was asking myself, why is that verse is on the book of Lamentation? You know, because it's like someone is lamenting, and then the Holy Spirit said that, you know what, no matter what you are going through, his grace is sufficient. His grace is there. You may be going something today, but his grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we pray before we start. Father God, you are awesome. You are awesome in this place, Lord, and we glorify you, King of kings and Lord of all. We give you all the praise, Lord, for you are worthy of it all. There is no one like you, our God and our King. You are the only one who can touch our hearts, Lord. You are the only one who can speak to us this morning. You are the only one who can move upon us, Lord, because you know what each one of us need, Father God. And you always provide our need because you are Jehovah Jireh. You have never failed us, not once, and you will not fail us. And we give you all the praise and all the honor, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So today we are on the same book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We start from verse 1 to verse 13. I'm going to read all of it because all of it matters. Amen? For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who I am less than the least of all saints in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the word has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly might be known the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Hallelujah. In him we have boldness. In him we have boldness and access. You know, you can go somewhere, you're trying to open the door, you're trying to go, like I can visualize, if you go to Buckingham Palace right now, you will be told access denied because you are not invited. Or you want to open something, you just get message access denied because you don't have the key password. But we Christian, hallelujah, we have been given the password to go to the King of Kings, to the Lord of all. We have a password. We can go boldly. No one can stop us. We can go there knowing that I'm going to see my Father. I'm going to speak to my Father right now. I'm going to tell him of the things which troubles me. I'm going to tell him of how my day has been today. I'm going to tell me of the things which I'm thinking. I'm going to, and I know he will hear me. He will answer because I have an access. And I'm going there, not worried, not doubting, with boldness because I have an access. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have an access, church. We have an access. On this letter, when we start, Paul say that, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus. When he was in prison, most of people, they thought, I'm a prisoner because he was imprisoned by Rome. He thought, people, they thought he was a prisoner of Rome or the prisoner of Nero. No, he was a prisoner of Christ for us Gentiles. Meaning that whatever he went through there is for us, for the benefit of us. Because there when he was in prison, he did get an access to speak to people. He was receiving people. He was talking to people. He managed to preach the gospel of God to people. Sometimes we may be going through things, we say, why am I going this kind of thing, Lord? No. If you sit down and meditate of what you're going through, and speak to the Father, speak to the God who gave us access to speak to, you will know why you are on that situation. Some situation may not be pleased, but it's for the glory of God. I believe Paul, when he was in prison, is not a pleasant thing, but he said that, I am here for the glory of one who created me, for the glory of God, for you Gentiles, for us who did not know Christ at that time, so we may know Christ. So the mystery of the gospel can be revealed to us through Paul. In another word, it was a benefit for Paul to be there for us to understand. Because we all know on the Old Testament, the Jews and us Gentiles, we were different. And if you wanted to become like one of them, there was like a ceremonial rituals you go through. Like you have to be circumcised. You have to be initialized. You have to go this and that to be a Jew. But through the precious blood of Jesus, there is no Gentile, there is no Jew. There is no black, there is no white. There is no English, there is no Tanzanian. There is no anyone. There is no Nigerian. There is no Caribbean. There is whatever you are coming from. If you are here, we are one. Amen. We are one. Amen. We are different, but one. This body has different parts, but if you remove my finger, it won't be the same. If you cut off my hand, it won't be the same. So here you are right now. You matter. You are called for a purpose. You are called to this kingdom. Ella has already said earlier, we are called. We are called, each one of us. You may say, I don't have anything I'm doing in the kingdom. No, you are. You are. Waking up in the morning and going to your neighbor and knock their door and say, how are you today? Can I do something for you? Maybe they are not feeling well. Even if they are feeling well, people, they are lonely in this country. Believe me. If you can go there and say, how are you today? People, they are coming to church. How many people did you give hug this morning? If you did not do that, make sure you are not going home without giving someone a hug. I remember Uncle Ed used to say, hugs is a healing. It's a healing. He used to like to hug people and he will hug so tightly. I miss those hugs. And he used to say, this is a healing. And if you are lonely, you will understand what he was saying. If you have ever feel, you might have family, but there is times you feel really, really lonely. The family, they are there. They are not away. You feel like you need someone to come and tell you everything will be all right. Someone to hug you, to give that assurance which you need. Because we are one. We have to love one another, to walk with one another. We all have our faults, we have our failures, but with his grace, we can do it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In Acts 17, 28, it says that God is the source of all existence. For in him we live and move and have our being. It's God who enables us to be here. It's God who enables us to have this, the energy which we have. We have the energy, but when we come to church, now I'm going to step on your toe. We have the energy, but when we come to church, when we are singing, when the song is played, we just sit down. We don't want even to move. You know, when I asked Gilberti to put a song for the communion, I did not choose the song, he chose it. But I say, put the song which people, they can dance. Because I thought the music which we play here is boring. You cannot dance. That's what I can say, because people, they are not dancing, they are not moving. Even if you are not dancing, at least stand up and eat. Even raise the hand to the maker who created you, you know, to worship him. So I say, put the song where people, they can dance. It's not me who played that song. And if, on my opinion, it's the song which you can dance. Everyone can dance. Yeah? For him, in him, we live, we move, we have our being. So why should we not praise him? Why should we not show appreciation to him? Eh? If I step on someone's toe, sorry, but I think it was supposed to be said. Because believe me, what I wrote here, I have not even said maybe only that verse. I'm only talking according to the Holy Spirit leading me. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, whatever you are going through, wherever it's coming to your way, know that you are not alone. Know that God is in full control. You may be crushed. You may be pressed. You may be in any situation. You may say that she's only talking because she's not on my shoes. Yes, I'm not on your shoes. But one thing's sure, for sure, I know. We have a Savior. We have a God who say that, come to me boldly. Boldly. I don't know why I'm still being drawn to that word, boldly. Probably there's someone here who's going through something. You think God has forgotten you. You think God is not hearing your prayer. God is not walking toward you. Come. He said, come. Come. Boldly. Come. Come. Approach him boldly, knowing that he will surely answer. He will surely do. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said that. Verse 8 to 12, we are hard pressed in every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that it may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So Jesus died so that we may live, that we may glorify him, that we may know that whatever we are going through, we are not alone. We can remember when Jesus was taken to the Pilate. When he was taken to the Pilate, Pilate asked him some questions. And he said, Jesus did not answer a thing. And Pilate said to him, don't you know, I'm just paraphrasing, because as I say, some of the things I'm saying, they are not here. So he said, don't you know that I have a power to release you? But what Jesus said, you don't have any power over me unless it is given to you from above. So whatever we are going through, God is aware of it. And God has allowed it for the purpose. God can allow some situation take place in us so that we can be able to comfort those who are suffering because of the we have gone through the same situation. So we know what we can say to those who are going, we are going to comfort them. Hallelujah. Verse 3, Paul said that by revelation, Christ has been known. Has been known unto me by the mystery. In Greek mythology, the word mystery was not necessarily the hidden thing. Was a thing known only by revelation, by someone telling. We people, we like mystery. Some of us, we like to know the end of the mystery. When you are watching a movie or you are doing something for people who have watched Agatha Christie, I've never watched any of them. You may be surprised because I think the majority have watched Agatha Christie, the mystery, well, Harry Potter, I've not watched any of them. Pastor Rob is just a surprise maybe, but I've not watched one of them. I have things which I like and things which they don't even move me. So people, they like a mystery to know, how is this going to end? How? But this mystery we are talking about today here is not the mystery like of the one of the story. It's the mystery revealed to us because the way Jesus loves us, the way God cares for us. I did read there, I said that we, Gentiles, we are one with Jews, meaning that all the promises in the Bible. Do you know that there? When I was going through this, I remember I listened to one pastor. I don't remember even who was he again. He's a really good pastor because I did listen a big chunk of his teachings. He does do Bible narration. And I did remember something regarding this passage. He did say, we are not the same as the Jews. And I'm thinking, oh, hold on. What is it saying here? He said, we are the partakers. We are the partakers. In fact, he was narrating I think it was Isaiah or something. And he says some people, they do take these promises as themselves, but this was the promise for the Jews. No, the Bible doesn't, my Bible, maybe I'm wrong. I'm wrong, I don't know. Pastor will correct me. This Bible is telling me all the promises as long as we are in the body of Christ. As long as we are called Christians. As long as we believe Jesus. All the promises in this book are mine. Every chapter, every verse, every word, I can claim it because I have been promised it. Because now Paul is revealing to us there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no race in God's presence. There is no any identification more than I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again for me. I believe he's coming again. If you believe those things, you are in the boat. You are traveling together. We are going to heaven. We are going to see him. Nothing will stop us. Paul went on this passage we read, he said that, I, Paul, I'm the least. I think that sentence, most of us, we say it, although we were not like Paul, because Paul was a murderer. In fact, not only the murderer, he was killing those who believe in Jesus. But when you look on the apostles, I think Paul was the greatest of all. Paul was the greatest one of all of apostles, telling us that no matter where we are coming from, no matter what we have done, no matter what our life is described as, once we confess Jesus, we are a new creation. All things have passed away, and now we are the children of the Most High God. Because Paul is saying that I am the least. I am the least, but look of how God has used him. You can be the least, but if you are available, God can use you. People, they may not value you, but God is valuing you in a high stake which you cannot even compare. Just say yes, he will use you. Just say I am ready, he will equip you. Just say here I am, Lord, send me, he will send you. You may say that I cannot travel. You may say that I cannot go to do the gospel, to preach somewhere or blah, blah, blah. But there is many ways of being sent. Someone is telling you, I'm going to do a work of God somewhere. Help them financially, prayerfully. Encourage them. Do something to that person. Give your offering for the work of God. Not everyone can stand behind the pulpit. Not one can go to Africa, to Asia, to preach. Not everyone can go to Piccadilly and preach. But do something for those who are doing that. Because when one soul is saved because of what you did, you are the one who cultivated it. Someone else watered it. And God give increase. We have a lot to do in the kingdom as a body of Christ. You stand on the door there, you will welcome people in this church. It's a calling. You help in the kitchen, tea and coffee, it's a calling. Not everyone can do that. You help to put the chairs away. Not everyone does that. Myself, I don't do that. It's everyone is called in a different area. So it's a matter of being faithful on where we've been called. Some of them are called only to give. They give faithfully in the kingdom. They pray faithfully for the kingdom. They don't go out to preach. They don't do anything, but they do preach with their knees. They do preach with their financial giving. They do preach by the way they walk. Our walking as Christian preach a lot more than our talk. We are the first Bible our families read. And those who are close to us. If we bring light to them, they will embrace that light. If we bring darkness to them, they won't see any difference in us, so they won't be encouraged to follow, or they won't be invited to be one of us, because there is nothing new. There is nothing at all. We are the partakers of all the promise of God. But did we earn it? Do we deserve it? The Bible in the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, he said this, which is the verse which I like a lot. He said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Did not say to Satan people, to all men, to all who believe. This is available to all on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. As long as we believe him, as long as I said earlier, you believe in Jesus, the grace of God is available. And you can be one of the called, because we are called only by grace. It's not by merit. It's not by what we do. It's by grace. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 12, that I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I receive it by the revelation from Jesus Christ. Unless God revealed to us his mysteries like he did to Paul, our calling will be of nothing, because we'll be bragging. We'll have pride that I do preach to 1,000 people. I do preach to 5,000 people. I do preach to a lot of people. I cannot go to that church, only people less than 20 to preach there. That is not grace. That is not calling. Because if you are called, you will go even for 2 people. You will preach there. Because God wants those people to hear. You want those people to receive the gospel. Our calling has to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not CV, not education. We need a Holy Spirit. There is nothing wrong by going to the Bible's college and study theology. There is nothing wrong at all. In fact, it is good. But we need the Holy Spirit more than anything. And when God calls you, will always equip you. His power will match with his calling on your call. We have to be humble. We have to show humility when we preach to people. My question for all of us today, including me: what do we do with our calling? What do we do with this gospel? You know, Ella did finish everything which the Spirit was moving. What do we do? Or are we here to think that it's up to them? I don't need to bother. I'm going to heaven anyway. Yes, you are going to heaven, but that is not enough. I don't want to repeat what Ella said, because she did pinch some of my preaching, but I just want you only to emphasize to be saved. Yes, but it's not enough. What do we do with people who are close to us, especially our families, because those are the immediate one? Those are the, you may say, I cannot speak to people. I feel shy. Are you shy to speak to your family? Are you shy? Are you feeling shy to speak to your brother, to your sister? When I say brother, your sister, I mean those within your family, to your mother, to your father, to your daughter, to your son. It may be a very heavy conversation. We did hear a testimony on one sister in Brin who said she went to the meal for, was it a Christmas meal or something? She mentioned Jesus and they woke her out, which is very, very, very sad. But you know what, that sister is, I think she's even more fired up. She's even more boldly. She does go to Piccadilly to preach now. It was Emma, is it? The way she's bold with the word. She will tell you, I was in Bolton. I was in Lee. I was in Piccadilly. That is the spirit. I don't know if I can do like her, but honestly, I admire that girl. Because the family woke her out on a Christmas meal because she was wearing a crucifixion. And they asked her, and she started telling them, but they were angry. They were angry. But I think that maybe God wanted, that's why I said, whatever we go through, God wants us to go through because we have, there is a purpose. And right now, I think his dad is drawing slowly and slowly. Her dad went even to listen to her testimony on Isaiah when she went to give a testimony of where she come from, where she's heading. That is a step ahead. The one who woke her away because she was talking about Jesus is the one who went to listen to her. So when God does something, let it not discourage you. Just say that I'm going through with Jesus. I'm going through with this because I know Jesus is in control. I know he said he will never leave me nor forsake me. I know he's taking total charge. And I'm going through with him knowing he will fight my battles. For the battle doesn't belong to me. The battle belongs to him. Let us embrace this amazing grace. Because salvation is amazing grace. It's amazing grace. None of us deserve it. None of us earn it. None of us work to be here. It's because of the faith in Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, who did not spare his only son, but he gave him for us so we can be called the children of God, so we can be called sons and the daughter of the Most High God. Let us all have a testimony of what God has done to us and the hope we have for the coming day, which is not far from where we are. He's coming back. He's coming back. And it won't be long, church. We have to embrace that. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us. We thank you, Lord, for where you have brought us from and where you are heading us. We did not earn it. We did not deserve it. But you gave it to us. You gave us to us now. We are called daughters and sons of the Most High God. And we have access to the throne of grace. We have boldness to come before you, Lord, and cry to you, Abba, Father. And you always hear and answer. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord. Continue to embrace us, Lord. Continue to take us the way we are, Father God. For we are not completely, Lord. But with you, we can walk. We can run this race, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.